Well, good afternoon, PBC family. Hope you are doing well. Our devotional for this week has to deal with wisdom. And so I titled it Wisdom in a World of Foolishness. And so I want to look at some Proverbs and some verses in Proverbs, and then particularly Proverbs 9. So in our day, there is a lot of foolishness that is disguised as wisdom. Whether it's in the news, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter, or things that are said in just reaction to what others might do or say, there might be things that are said that seem wise, but later on show to be foolish. We as Christians are encouraged and exhorted to pursue wisdom. In fact, God has given us in His Word certain books to equip us for that purpose. We should be those that flee from folly and make wisdom our life pursuit. In fact, the book of Proverbs is all about the pursuit of wisdom. Wisdom we can define as wise living in terms of the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so wisdom is applying God's word, applying His principles in any given situation that the life might present to us. Wisdom gives you what you need to know, how to live a godly life in a world that's dominated by foolishness. Too many are seeking pleasure in following the foolishness of this world rather than pursuing wisdom that leads to life. You know, as we look at the book of Proverbs, we see chapters 1 through 10 set up as this father who is wanting to instruct his son and beg him in that he would pursue wisdom. In fact, Proverbs 4:1 says, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight." Proverbs 23:12, "Apply your heart to instruction and your ear to words of knowledge." Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." And so the father wants to convince the son that wisdom is worth pursuing. There might be things in this world tugging at him, things that are begging for his attention, things that might seem wise or pleasurable or smart in the world's eyes, but in the end leads to death. Proverbs 8:11 says, "For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare to her." And so what we see in the book of Proverbs is we see wisdom personified and foolishness personified as two women. We say Madam Folly and Lady Wisdom. And we see this in Proverbs 9. And the main thing we want to see in Proverbs 9 is that wisdom should be desired. Wisdom is something that is from God, which will ultimately lead to happiness and true life. And so in Proverbs 9, we see Lady Wisdom and Madam Folly compared to each other and how to discern the difference. And in that, it also provides us tests to see which way are we on. And so I want to talk about this and discuss this and hope that it'll be helpful for us to discern the way of wisdom in a world that is full of foolishness. So in Proverbs 9 we read, "Wisdom has built her house, she has hewn her seven pillars, she has slaughtered her beasts, she has mixed her wine, she has also set her a table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come eat of my bread and drink of my wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight." So this is Lady Wisdom pictured here first. Notice she's built a house. This is the place that she resides and lives her life. It has seven pillars. So this is meaning she has a strong foundation. It's a place of protection. And she's slaughtered her beast. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. So she's preparing a feast. She has slaughtered the fattened calf. She has mixed wine, a drink that is delightful to the soul. She has set a table. She's getting everything nice. This is a special occasion. And in the ancient Near East in this time, having a meal of someone was an expression of fellowship and intimacy. So she is offering fellowship, intimacy, and Lady Wisdom is offering this. Notice she has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let her turn here to him who lacks sense. She says, come, eat of my bread, drink of my wine that I have mixed. And so Lady Wisdom is a wealthy woman. She sends out her maidens to invite guests into her house for the feast. Recall Jesus' parable of the wedding feast where he sends out people to invite the guest. Notice who she's inviting. She's inviting those who are simple, those who are young, those who are naive, inexperienced, those who need instruction. And she cries out to those who are in a crossroads of life. Her invitation is to partake of my wisdom. This is what's going to sustain you. This is what's going to bring you happiness. She opens her home. She has a feast. She says, this is the way of blessing. This will make your heart glad. And her call is to leave your simple ways, leave your naivety, and live and walk in the way of insight. This idea of leaving is to turn, to repent of being simple and naive. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So this is Lady Wisdom. This is what she calls and invites the person who's coming by, who's at a crossroads in life. She invites them to partake with her in a feast. But then the opposite is happening. It's woman folly, or we can say Madam Folly. Notice in verse 13, woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat at the high places of town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, and her guests are in the depths of Sheol. So woman folly, Madam Folly, is out there also calling out to the young inexperienced, the naive, the one the father is trying to direct his son away from. But she's also calling out to him as he walks by. Notice she is seductive. She's trying to lure him in. She may look nice, but in the end it's a trap. She might promise pleasure, but in the end, it's a trap. Notice, in contrast to Lady Wisdom, she knows nothing. She's in no place to really help. She promises pleasure, she promises wisdom, but in the end, she knows nothing. Notice, Madam Folly sits at the door of her house. Her house isn't built on seven pillars. She doesn't have maidens who go out and invite those to her house for a feast. But instead, she's sitting outside, very unladylike, yelling at whoever passes by. She sits at the door, and she's seductive. Notice, she's calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear, and to him who lacks sense, she says. Notice, it's the same thing that Lady Wisdom promises. She also is calling out to the simple. She's also saying, turn here. And so we need to discern what is the wise way to go when both are promising the same thing. It needs discernment. So she calls out to the simple, but notice Madam Folly has a slightly different invitation. Notice it says, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. While Lady Wisdom is serving the fattened cow, while she's mixing her wine, while she has sustained and made a great feast that she's inviting people to partake in, Madam Folly is serving stolen water and bread. Things that really are not delightful, things that are really not filling. Water is this metaphor in scripture that we see for sexual experience or intimacy. So she's promising, really, like illicit sex. She's promising pleasure that is forbidden. Proverbs 5:15 says, drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. But Madam Folly says, hey, there can be pleasure outside of that. Verse 18, but he, that is the young, naive person, does not know that the dead are there. The dead are at her house. that her guests are in the depth of Sheol. Her guests are in the grave. So the stolen water might taste good for a little while. It might promise pleasure, but in the end, it leads to death. You will be enslaved. And Lady Wisdom is crying out, do not go down that route. Come here. It is good. It is stable. It is safe. So who will you choose? It's not that simple of a choice. You have to discern the difference. If you're not discerning, if you're just going out and you hear the same things, you can be lured in the wrong direction. And so the Father gives us tests how to see which way you're on. So as we read this, and it's in the middle, you can see this Proverbs is a chiasm. So in the middle here is what he wants us to focus on. Verse 7. Notice he gives us tests by your actions. How do you react? What do you do in your life? In other words, check your pulse. Notice verse 7. How do you respond to correction? The first test. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, but he who reproves a wicked man may incur injuries. Do not reprove a scoffer or he'll hate you. Reprove a wise man and he'll love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. So as you apply wisdom, as you check what path you're on, the Father says, examine your heart. How well do you do when correction comes? Are you one who despises it? Are you one who hates it? Or are you one who takes it and in the end you see it's good for you? That this is what someone who is loving wants to do, is correct when you're wrong. The wise one is one who takes correction and says, I need this. But the fool is one who rejects it. So what kind of person are you? How do you receive correction? Are you one who says, leave me alone, get out of my life? Or do you say, thank you, I was wrong, I need this? That's one that shows you're on the wise way. But then there's a second test, a second question, and that is, do you fear God? Look at verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and your years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. So if you do not fear the Lord, there is nothing to prevent you going down to Madame Folly's house. It might promise pleasure, it might promise wisdom, but in the end it leads to death. So fear God, seek to follow him, know his word, understand what he says as a wise way for a Christian to go, so that we'll be able to discern the difference, so we're not leaning on our own understanding and being deceived, thinking we might be making the good choice, but in the end it leads to death. So how do we prevent that? Be in his word. Seek to know God all the more. Understand what he wants of you and fear him above everyone else. And it's been said, you will worship who you fear most. You will obey who you fear most. And so, do you fear the Lord? Now, as we zoom out, what we see here is we see that wisdom is fully seen in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30, and because of him you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So it's Christ who is truly this wise son, who truly went the way of wisdom, who earned the blessing, yet he was treated as one who took the curse of the foolish person. And he did that in our place. He is the one who took the curse of folly. He went to death in our place, yet he did not deserve it. He chose the way of wisdom, but as our representative. And he provides the path that we are to follow so that we can pursue wisdom. So as we conclude and think of this wisdom and folly, how are you discerning which way you are on? When you apply these two checks, you know, how do you respond to correction? And do you fear God? What does it reveal about your current path? Are you headed on the way to wisdom or are you headed on the way to folly? Are you listening to those father figures in your life who are more spiritually mature, or do you think you have all the answers and you're doing what is right in your own eyes? The Bible says that is the foolish way. So may we as Christians want to grow in wisdom. May we continue to read the Proverbs. May we continue to read all of Scripture to understand how we can grow and understand how God wants us to live so we can walk in the fear of the Lord and so we can apply these godly principles to our everyday life situations and pursue wisdom. So just consider a few applications of this, examples. It's very easy to post something on Facebook. It's very easy to tweet something out or post a blog for the world to see out of a remote emotional reaction to things that might be happening around us. It's easy to get caught up in earthly pursuits and conversations that in the end are not wise, that will only degrade and hurt our witness to a watching world. So may we think of when we speak, how are we showing we're wise Christians? It's easy to speak and respond when we are angry, especially online. And in so doing, we can be stirring up strife. Proverbs 12:18, there is one whose rash words are like a sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So may we have tongues of wisdom. May we speak kind words. May we not bring rash words, even if it's against people we disagree, where it's like a sword thrust. How is your tongue being used in a way that is showing you walk in wisdom? May we also be those who are quick to hear and slow to speak. May we not always feel like we have to react in a certain way. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, transgressions are not lacking. But whoever retains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. So when we act, when we respond, when we type something online, we need to ask ourselves, is this leading me on the wise way of blessing? Or am I just showing that I'm a fool? May we be those who are pursuing wisdom. May we be discerning. May we check our hearts and see, how do we respond to correction? How do we respond to the fear of the Lord? And are we able to discern which wise way we are on? Are we on the wise way or are we on the foolish way? So I hope this is helpful for us as we consider wisdom and how it is to inform us, especially in a day like we're in today, where there's so much foolishness going around in this world that is disguised as wisdom. So may we be discerning. And may we pursue God's word and fear him all the more. So anyways, I hope this is a blessing to you. I hope this really helps us discern that we don't just jump quickly onto something, that we are discerning and that we are truly seeking the way of wisdom. God bless.